RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back to Green Justice and Arrow Podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. Josh, I think I really screwed up this week.
You messed up?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my dog got pregnant. And I'm not sure I don't think I had anything to do with it, which, thank God, because that would be horrible. But not sure what to do.
You know what? I'm here for you. You know, we'll do whatever we need to do. Hey, I need to make a quick phone call real quick if you want to just keep introducing.
Okay. Well, I was going to say I could really use $1 million to pay off that bitch. So.
I gave her a milk bone. She went away. She's good.
Okay, so we gotta just get this out of the way, because we got to get into talking about this episode.
Yes.
Because like a speeding freight train, I was blindsided by this thing, this episode that came at me with 45 minutes of family drama and boringness. Not really boring. I mean, there was some cool stuff going on, but then, well, we'll get into it. Let's go ahead and tell us about what the episode was called.
Okay.
And all that.
All right. Well. The first 45 minutes and the last 15, they had the same title, Seeing Red, even though, you know, the first one was our little Mexican soap opera there. But so Seeing Red was episode 20 in season 2, aired on April 23rd of 2014, and it was written by Wendy Miracle, Beth Schwartz, again, familiar names for our show here, directed by Doug Arniakoski.
Very good.
Has Mr. Arniakoski directed? That name does not sound familiar.
I had never seen it before, and I actually found it misspelled like three different ways. I had to go to the tape to get the correct spelling of that so we could pronounce it. But no, I do not believe he is not a returning director. I believe this is...
All right.
Well, I hadn't looked him up, but he had not done any Arrow episodes before, to my knowledge.
Yeah, that would have surprised me. I would have recognized that. Not as much as it surprised me that you're still using tape, but either way. So, let's talk about this. Just briefly run through this, and then let's get into it. There's a lot of good stuff.
Simply Red.
After Seeing Red.
I'm sorry, Seeing Red.
Yeah, Seeing Red.
Right.
Yeah.
Holding back those years.
Yeah. After Roy, he wakes up from his Mirakuru sucking-induced coma that he was in, and he scares the one-liners out of Felicity.
That's great.
Oliver and Sarah, they try everything to track him down. Well, not completely everything. Maybe probably not a lot of computers there after he tips them over. But really what it means is they follow the trail of beat-up people that were being squashed by Roy-Zilla. Sin is back, and she gives him a hand, too, because, you know, she believes, like Oliver, that he is still savable. Meanwhile, Moira is contemplating dropping out of the mayoral race so she can repair her relationship with her family, hopefully, until Oliver convinces her that it's really, really important to stay in the race, after already, you know, getting Sebastian's hopes up.
That was the way. How embarrassing is that? It's like, oh, good, she's conceded. All right, we got this in the bag. And then she says, no, I'm going to be the best darn mayor you ever had. I was just wanting to see. I wanted them to do that shot where he goes, no.
I actually kind of felt sorry for him at that point as soon as she just changed her mind.
He just is becoming a weaker and weaker character as time goes on. I mean, I thought he was this really powerful guy earlier in the season, and then you saw, like I said, I think I said three or four episodes ago when he went up against Slade, you're like, oh, boy, you really see that, you know, Slade wears the pants in the family, and now with this, it's just like, oh, dude, you suck.
Yeah. Yeah. He's. I have a feeling his day is coming back here soon. But I would like to imagine that he had this big party all planned for her concession.
Oh, no.
And you know they've got the champagne. He's pouring the champagne. Everybody's laughing and they're watching her speech. And all of a sudden she just and then everybody just leaves him there. He's just by himself with all the balloons and everything. I'm sure that's what happened. That was a cut scene. That'll be on
that
the DVDs. Yeah, of course. So, anyway, we can of course reminisce with Moira, with her as she thinks about family. We can reminisce with her about that. You know that one time that Oliver got someone pregnant, and
wait, what?
Oh yeah, you didn't know about that?
Oh my gosh, why didn't we hear about this before?
Oh well,
it's because the writers just made it up.
Oh no, they were well paid off, my friend. That's
yes, they were.
Yes, but hey, you know what? Maybe everything's going to work out, and we can get together with Slade Wilson. Just sit down, have some tea and sandwiches. You know those sandwiches? You know the one I'm talking about? The ones that you stick the little pointy sticks through?
Josh, I know, I know what you're talking about.
Excellent,
with
excellent
sandwiches. Yes,
good.
They're delicious.
Yeah. The little plastic shrivelly things glued to the top. Those
shrinkage, man. Didn't anyone tell you about shrinkage? So, all right. Seeing Red, boy, I got to tell you, and I think I don't believe we had discussed the name of this on last week's episode or anything. But I think you and I had just talked off air about what I thought the title could stand for, because when you see the title like Seeing Red and you've got all sorts of characters that are in dire situations and have anger issues and also wear red costumes, it's like, oh, there's all sorts of great stuff that can come from this title. So just for those of you that are not aware of the term Seeing Red, Some people say it's it deals with the bullfighting because they use the red cloak to induce the bull to charge. But I'm pretty sure bulls are colorblind, so I don't know if that's really where the term came from. But the term Seeing Red actually refers to a situation where you're so angry that your anger controls you and you become extremely enraged and kind of lose control. So,
no, but I can see the bullfighting you know, scenario kind of played out here in a way. If Slade was the bullfighter, and he's kind of waving that, you know, and causing well, Oliver especially to just really get angry, really get upset, and charge him but miss, you know. And every time Slade steps away, you know, so.
That's great. That is what's been going on the entire season. I mean, we've been talking about how Oliver is, you know, he's basically behind the eight ball. Slade has played out the scenarios. He knows exactly what he's going to do, and there's just no way for Oliver to catch up. And Oliver, you know, keeps trying and, you know, like you said, missing.
Yeah. I pride myself on rationalizing any title that they throw at us, so I can figure.
Oh, no, it's great. I mean, and, you know, it seems silly sometimes, but I mean, you know, even on a really literal level, you know, I think we can, you know, we can do stuff with these titles because, you know, they pick their titles, I think, very cleverly and very carefully for the subject matter they want to do. And I'd be interested to know, do they come up with the title first and then try to fit the subject matter around it? Or do they just come up with all of this related subject matter for the episode and then come up with a title that fits?
Yeah, I can see him doing either one,
which would be interesting.
So and as far as the term Seeing Red and bullfighting, it I think it does have its origins in there, even though bulls are colorblind, but they do traditionally use that red cape, that red, I guess it's a cape, isn't it, that they wave, and I think I've heard that that's where it comes from too.
Yeah So I had also speculated at one point that we might actually get to see the Flash again on this episode, because he wears a red costume. Sadly, that was not the case. I feel like that ship has sort of sailed with the Star Labs folks that we had last episode on the show.
Yeah.
That's as close as we're getting to anything else with the Flash. on Arrow, at least at this point before the Flash TV series takes off. But then, of course, the big character that also came to mind was Roy, because he's always wearing the red hoodie. And he had that up over his head the entire time. I liked Felicity's comment. She's like, oh, I see why you wear the hood now. It's like, because it really plays havoc with the facial recognition software that she's got set up mm-hmm. to monitor around the city, which is, she ought to talk to the NSA about that. I'm sure that they would love to get their hands on her algorithms. Hey, now. So Roy, you know, he's literally seeing red, and he's figurative, you know, we're figuratively seeing red because of the colors that are associated with Roy. I also thought it was interesting that Sin mentioned that he was, or no, it wasn't Sin. It was one of the guys that he beat up. And they said there was this dude that was roided out, and I said, oh, he's roided out. I thought that was an interesting play on words. I don't know if that, again, was intended.
Oh, but, it had to have been.
It's because it's, I mean, if you, you know, you, who would believe you if you said some guy, you know, threw you through a car door or something like that. But, you know, if that's what you'd think, of some guys just jacked up on some, what's the juice, I guess, right? Is that what they call it nowadays, Josh?
That's what my supplier calls it.
That's what your guy calls it. Okay. So, Roy definitely has some issues he's going through, but Oliver is...
I'm sorry, issues? I'm not sure that word's appropriate here. Issues.
Okay, he's having...
He's having a temper tantrum.
He's having drug-induced hallucinations while, you know, being high on this chemical that provides him with the strength of 20 men.
There you go.
Is that closer?
Yeah,
okay.
I like that. That's a little stronger than issues.
Okay. Yeah. But Oliver, you know, being true to his word for this season is he's really, really, really trying hard not to kill people. To a fault. Except that he wants to turn around and kill Slade. And I thought that was a really interesting discussion that he and Sarah had where, you know, he talks about how he sees a lot of himself in Sarah, or he sees.
Yeah,
I guess he sees a lot of himself in Sarah.
His former self.
Well, and he sees some of himself in Sarah. So you've got that. And then Sarah's like, you know, we need to kill Roy. And he's like, we can't do that. And she's like, but, you know, you're ready to kill Slade. And it's a good point. It's like, what is the difference now? Like, I'm going to ask you, what is the difference between Slade and Roy at this point? Is there, you know, this medicine, this cure that the people at Star Labs are working on may or may not come through? So what do you do with Roy that you would or wouldn't do with Slade? I mean, do you have to take them both out?
That's a hard question. It's a really hard question, and that's why he's struggling so much, you know, because it's not black and white. And you know, unfortunately, until Roy killed that cop, at least he had, you know, he had an out. He had a saving grace. He had. I mean, they both have excuses, I suppose, but Roy hadn't killed anybody yet. And so you could rationalize saying, well, look, you know, I mean, yeah, he's got this stuff inside of him. It's horrible. But if we can cure him, no real harm done. Whereas Slade, you know, I mean, he's killed many, many people. And he had done that actually before he had the Mirakuru in him, but.
Exactly. I mean, that was part of his job.
But they were all bad, as Arnold would say.
They were all bad people. Yeah, of course. Of course, you're only going to kill the bad people,
right? But see, now Slade, he kills on a whim. He'll do whatever it's necessary if they're in his way. So,
all right. Well, let me ask you this then. So, okay, let's assume I'm gonna take you down two scenarios here. Let's assume the drug gets created, and we actually have a viable way of reversing the effects of the Mirakuru. So I would assume that's a done deal. We take care of Roy right away, correct?
Of course.
Okay. Do we administer it to Slade?
I want to say yes. I want to say yes.
Let's do this from Oliver's standpoint. Let's think about this from Oliver's standpoint too, because I mean it is, and I understand. I mean it's really not a fair question at this point. It's like I think we need to off this guy. But let's say that we have this cure. Would you think Oliver would opt to cure Slade, and then be? At that point, he would then be controllable and being able to be incarcerated in, you know, the fabulous downtown Iron Heights prison, which, you know, is completely safe and nobody ever gets out of that. Or
it's in downtown. Is that where it is?
Not really. No, oh, okay. I don't think it's that.
Oh, okay. No, I was just wondering. I wasn't. No, I liked your description. You know, I just thought, whoa, wait a minute. Really? They don't usually keep prisons downtown.
You know, guests of the Griffin Show stay at the lovely downtown.
Yes. And then it just made me think, oh, maybe it is. I don't know. From Oliver's point of view, I think he almost has to kill him. This isn't me talking, but this is just looking at from
sure.
Oliver's point of view. Because, number one, Oliver has killed people before. And not always rightly,
right.
Especially, you know, the first season.
Right.
That's sort of what he's working.
It's towards. A learning process, you know. I understand.
You got to practice first. I think he's justified in doing it, and I think he's justified because I don't think he believes there's any other way to stop him. There's that. Now,
even if we were able to cure him.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put in my point of view, and I don't think we've ever talked about this because it's not entirely related, but I grew up with comics, and I grew up with DC comics. I read a lot of Green Arrow growing up, especially my dad's old ones, but I mostly read Superman, and I have always truly, I have really tried to build my moral sense as I grew up based on Superman. So when you ask me questions like that, I truly ask myself questions like, well, what would Superman do? And I'm not trying to be cliche or stupid or anything. My entire life, I've always kind of looked at it from that point of view. And Superman would not kill him.
Right.
So what would
unless he was in the Man of Steel, which,
well,
of course.
Now, yeah. Superman did kill. Well, we won't get into that. That's a completely
different
topic.
Yeah, I don't even want to go down that path.
So like I said, you know, I mean, if you're asking me, then no. If you can stop him without killing him, you should. That's what being a hero is. You know, it's not taking vengeance. It's not. However, if there is really truly no other way, and right now, it doesn't even look like that's possible. So,
right.
but if there's no other way, then you almost have to, in order to protect innocent people.
And that I find that really interesting for a couple of reasons. One is that it explains why I can never recognize you when you're wearing glasses. Secondly,
nobody's gonna.
Well, I wasn't even going to mention the spit curl, which looks kind of weird against your bald pate.
It's like Charlie Brown little, kind of.
It is, but not that I'm advocating, you know, violence and stuff like this. But when it comes to what my background of reading the DC comics, I was always more of a Batman guy. And I felt that Superman was too
Boy Scoutish.
To a degree. It's because, you know, how many times is bad guy, you know, I don't even know who to pick. Like Lex Luthor. But I think there are probably ones that are probably more dangerous. But how many times are you going to let this person, you know, escape from prison? It's like, you just got to take him out. Now, Batman, he has his own set of issues. Very similar in a lot of ways, like we've talked about, to Arrow. But, you know, he will take people down and, you know, take them down as far as they need to go, you know, kind of like in Dark Knight, the Two-Face thing. But, you know, he'll take the responsibility for it. It's not something that he takes lightly, but, you know, he will take the necessary action. So I think Oliver is just, you know, Oliver at this point sees that that is his only recourse. I think that even if he does get the that if he does get the cure, he still probably would push for the fact that he would have to kill Slade. Basically, you know, he might not say that it's vengeance. You know, he might use it as, you know, pull out the justice card and say, you know, it's got to be all this stuff. But personally, I think Oliver has been hurt too deeply by this, and I think it's going to get worse. I've got a question here about what happened at the end of the episode. With there's a line of dialogue that, you know, opens up what else does Slade have planned, and I'll get into that a little bit later, because we think Oliver is in pretty bad shape now. I think in the next three episodes they are going to take him down and drag him through the gutter even further. So we'll have to see. I was also afraid, actually, that he was going to get blamed for the cop's death. Did you have any kind of thought about that at all?
I wasn't really worried so much about Oliver because Roy did it. People saw Roy do it.
Well, I was afraid that they weren't going to have seen Roy doing it because that was right before commercial break. What does Roy do? Roy has an arrow. He stabs a cop and leaves an arrow at the scene. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So Roy's going to go off. No one's going to have seen this. Oliver's going to get blamed again,
yeah.
Right? And it's going to be back to that whole vigilante.
I could see that possibly happening. But my first thought really was, oh, man, now Roy has killed an innocent guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, also in the term of seeing red, Oliver, you know, is enraged through a lot of this episode. He is, charging at things that he can't control and not doing a very good job of connecting. So that's obviously a problem. And then, of course, we get to the gut punch. Moira, we are literally seeing red with her. I mean, figuratively, there is blood spilled from that. And I have to say, extreme kudos to the production team and the writers for putting basically a season-ending cliffhanger sort of move four episodes from the end of the season. I mean, well, yeah, four episodes from the end of the season. This completely caught me off guard. I will tell you that I thought that she was going to die, and it was the moment when she told Oliver that she knew what was going on and that she couldn't be more proud. And I'm like, okay, there's her character arc right there. She has completed. It's kind of that Joss Whedon does this in his shows and his movies. As soon as the character completes their arc, they achieve that transcendence. They have become the better person that they hope to be. Boom, they are then killed in some horrible fashion. I'm like, all right, well, she is going to go away by the end of the season, not even thinking that it was going to happen this episode. So that completely blindsided me.
So
I don't know.
So were you really convinced that she was a better person now and a good person? And
I felt that she was. She had come to an understanding. She was working to wipe her karmic slate clean, and that's exactly what was happening at the moment of impact when Slade's vehicle struck the limo. What happened to the limo driver, by the way?
I was thinking about that this morning, actually. I'm like, that poor guy.
Poor guy.
I mean, he had to have died, too. I mean, either in the crash or Slade just killed him first.
He's probably running off somewhere. Oh, Miss Moira! Miss Moira! Ah!
Like, oh, screw you guys. See ya.
But, yeah, I feel that, you know, her character had reached that point where she had that moment with Oliver where, you know, she was also having those flashbacks about parenting and stuff. She was kind of putting it all together and realizing the larger picture. we find out that she has known about Oliver for basically this entire year, which means, oh my gosh, got to go back and start watching some older episodes now to see what was going on.
Yeah, that blew me away.
And then, yeah, I'm like, did we even think that? We didn't ever even discuss the possibility of that, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think we ever did.
I mean, it makes sense. As much as he's around her, I mean, I'm kind of surprised Thea hasn't figured it out, for crying out loud. He's right under her feet every day, so.
Yeah.
I wonder where that door goes. Yeah, I don't know. Let me go get some more glasses upstairs. But
why is Diggle hanging out here all the time?
Anyways.
Which I'm glad he got some, just as a quick aside, I'm glad Diggle got a lot of dialogue this week, except that he got that stanchion up against the side of the head when Roy hit him with the stanchion that holds the red ropes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that would hurt if someone who, wasn't supercharged on a mega drug hit you with it.
Oh, yeah, he needs to go see a doctor about that, I would think. But, I feel that Moira, she made those connections about, and she finally was prioritizing what was the important stuff in her life. Like, she was prioritizing family again. Her family was with her. Thea was like, it's not going to be quick or easy. And Moira was like, I understand, but I have made the decision to make the commitment to be a better parent to you. And I'm going to start off by telling you that, and then, of course, right as they're about to say it, it's either the phone rings or, you get struck by a vehicle or something like that.
Yeah, I know. You're always getting interrupted in those phones or some murderous madman kidnapping your family and threatening them. Yeah, it's awful.
And I know I was texting you, as I was watching the end of the episode, and I was hoping, I was time shifted a little bit in what I was watching. I was hoping that you were watching at that point, because I know you're a couple hours behind me, but I just couldn't hold back. And I hope, hopefully, I don't feel like I gave anything away, but just that it was a very exciting episode.
You did not give anything away. That's kind of what I gathered from it. What did give it away is when I turned it on to watch on the DVR and the last scene was on when I turned the TV on.
Oh, no.
So that did kind of. But you know what? Quite honestly, it did not diminish it for me. It didn't diminish the story. And I have said many times on many occasions that if the story is good enough, a spoiler is not going to ruin it for me. I like that. I like that shock value, but yeah. I mean, many of my favorite movies had that shock value the first time I've seen them, but I go back and watch them many times. So it's okay. It's okay. I still enjoyed it a lot.
Well, what I thought was great is that nowhere in any of the spoiler images that were released by the CW and the production company, nowhere in the description of the episode doesn't mention anything about, and someone important to Team Arrow dies, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I totally appreciate the fact that nobody even talked about this. It's not like Susanna Thompson, tweeted out. It's like,
it's been great.
LOL, played my death scene today or whatever. It was done. Nobody just talked about it. There was nothing that was brought up. And as soon as the episode aired, Eastern time here where I am, I then hopped online, and it's like, then a couple stories popped up. Like, there were like producers, having little, grief counseling sessions with different websites talking about, why they did what they did and talking about, the impact of the episode and stuff like that. Yeah. But,
Stephen Amell was in, I think it was Walla Walla, watching this episode live with.
Was it Walla Walla? Yeah, it was somewhere there in northern Washington.
I think that's what he said. But he was watching with a crowd, like with a group of fans, I'm assuming. Yeah. So
right.
I thought that was kind of cool.
It was a red themed bar or something like that. I believe it had the word red or crimson or something in the title of the.
Didn't even look into that. That's kind of cool.
The building. Yeah, I just remember seeing that, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. The title is called Seeing Red, and then the name of the place they were watching had red, or like I said, some word that means red in the title. So that was pretty neat. So, boy, I was interested to see where else they were going to go with Moira, but boy, what a fool Sebastian Blood must feel like now. You know, everybody left him, and it's like, see, she's dead now. You know, he's got all those balloons and everything, and he can now be an uncontested mayor.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd stabbed her in the eye, you know, because then she could have come back. But I don't think she's coming back from this.
Well, I'm still hoping we will see her in flashbacks.
Yeah,
you know, in seasons to come.
That's likely.
Her twin sister, I'm sure, will show up at some point. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know I had an aunt that was the twin sister to my mom. And it's like, oh yeah, no one did, you know. And Robert married the wrong woman. And
there's our Mexican soap opera again. I did see a good meme of Malcolm Merlyn, of, you know, John Barrowman. It was just his face looking, you know, tough and mean, and it said, oh, you're going to regret that.
Oh.
Which is probably true.
Yeah, that's an interesting setup because, I mean, Malcolm and Moira had stuff going, and so I could see that definitely setting up Malcolm versus Slade in some fashion.
Yeah, well, and I can see that being a good incentive for Malcolm to come back to Starling or out in the open in Starling, you know, I don't know where he is, but to protect Thea.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even, you know, I mean, I know there's that whole parentage thing there is part of the current storylines, but I keep forgetting about that. That's true.
I mean, I don't know how much she would be open to that, but, you know, I can see him doing that. It was a phenomenally scary scene, a brutal scene, but powerful, really great storytelling. I can't say I enjoyed it because I didn't,
right.
You know, I mean, it really bothered me. I dreamt about it all night after I watched it. It was hard to watch, you know, and it's hard to think about, but it was really fantastic storytelling.
Well, and it was great acting and great writing. I mean, just, okay, so let's play this scene out. Again, Oliver, you get a chance to do this over again. And so what do you do? It's like, no, you know, kill me. And it's like, that's, you know, that's not an option. That's not going to happen. You've got Thea, you know, crying inconsolably in the background. And Moira, like I said, she's kind of found this inner peace with her, and she just gets up, and it's like, you know, there's only one way this is going to end, and both my kids are going to survive. And Slade is completely impressed by the fact that she, you know, she sees the one way out for Oliver, and makes it, well, I think getting shot would probably be a quicker way to go, but I mean, he stabbed her through the heart.
Now, you didn't think he was going to let her go after he put the gun away, did you?
No, I was pretty sure. I mean, I wasn't sure if he was going to pull the gun back out or if he was going to shoot her. I thought there was somebody else there. I'll tell you the one shot that confuses me is, and I know who he's referring to, but it's the point where Slade says, you know, she was the one telling me to do it, referring to the hallucinogenic shadow that we've seen with him throughout the season, much like the hallucinogenic Thea that Roy saw, which, by the way, that scene creeped me out as soon as I realized what was going on.
Yeah.
And she started to say, you've got to kill me. I'm like, I'm getting chills again right now. That was just so creepy. And then the fact she just kind of disappears and stuff like that. But it was in that shot where Slade references that she said something and points over there, and then the camera just turns to nothing, right? So you see nothing. But it looked like there was a red, like, laser light, you know, like from a gun or something, back in the bushes. And I don't know, maybe it was just a red light from a tower or something that was behind whatever they were shooting, where the woods were.
Huh.
I don't know what it was I was seeing.
You know, I didn't notice that. I'll have to go back and look.
but it was one of those things where it's like, is there supposed to be someone hiding in the bushes? Like that, kind of like that scene in Usual Suspects where Verbal Kent keeps talking about how he was hiding behind the ropes, and you're looking to see, is he really hiding behind the ropes, but he's not actually there. So that kind of confused me, but you know, so I was thinking there might have been somebody else there that would take Moira out. You know, Slade puts the gun away and then somebody else shoots her or something like that. Because there was somebody that was helping Slade that tackled Diggle in that one episode. I think it was in the Deathstroke episode or the Birds of Prey episode.
Okay. Well, he's got a whole army with him now, so
right,
they'll do whatever right. he says. They just haven't really showed it. He wasn't even in this episode until the very, very end, so.
Right. Yeah, but that's the thing. His whole, even when he's not in the episode, that's what's so great about this character is that he is in the episode. Like, he is heavy in the episode because it's all that the characters are talking about.
Well,
that's
influencing every single thing that happens, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, but boy, I did not see that coming, and the fact that they, you know, put it in this particular episode and not, you know, in the season finale or something.
No,
like
that was very Game of Thrones-ish, Walking Dead-ish kind of surprising death.
Right. All right. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit in my notes here since we're talking about this, the death here at the end. Slade puts his sword away and he says, there's one more person that has to die. So who is that one last person? It's not Thea because
he'd have killed her right there. Maybe
he clipped her. He like released her bonds, I think, as he was leaving.
Yeah,
because she had her hands free.
Yeah, he cut him right there. He put the sword right by her, cut her hands, and as soon as the rope fell, she ran over to Moira.
Yeah.
So who are you thinking? Who's he talking about?
What was the scene that came right after that where he kills Moira? He says, "I've got one more person that has to die." What was the next scene that happened?
That was a flashback, wasn't it?
That's the flashback where Oliver's on the telephone. He says, "What?" And he finds out that this girl that we never found out the name of, she's lost the baby. And then he says, "Well, that's good because I'm not ready to be a dad." And Moira says, "No, but someday."
Yeah. Now,
Slade, I am so. If this is what's going to happen, like, this is going to really upset me a lot. I believe that Slade has found Oliver's child, and he's going to bring this 6 or 7 year old kid to Starling City from Central City in the, you know, one of these last few episodes. And that is going to be, you know, Oliver's going to have to, I don't know what he's going to have to do, but Slade's going to threaten to kill his son or his child. We don't know it's a son.
No, yeah, right. That was my thought too. And it was because they cut to that flashback. My one concern with that, and I guess, I mean, this would be really easy to solve, but Oliver doesn't know this thing exists. I mean, he doesn't even know he has this kid.
Yeah.
So, so Slade will have to show him, you know, he'll have to present it to him somehow, if that's who it is.
I've got his birth record right here. No, see, would you look at this, please?
He looks just like you. No, I'm serious.
Look at that. He's got a bad wig on and everything.
The little goatee shadow, you know, 5 o'clock shadow thing. That was the worst Slade impression ever. I apologize for that. Everyone listening, I apologize. And my other thought is it could have been Sarah. Now, but, I mean, the scene makes me think that the kid is the first one. But Sarah was my other thought.
Sarah is a possibility.
And
Laurel's a possibility.
And also Felicity, but I don't see that one being as important to Slade, and he could have done that already too. But the idea for Slade has never been to just kill the people that Oliver loves. It has to be done in this dramatic, meaningful way, because he could have killed Moira at any time. I mean,
yeah, his promise was to make him suffer in the same way that he had suffered.
Yeah. Well,
so it's,
I think he's
done
that.
it's so is, you know, we may not. So right now, the scene where Moira got killed mirrors the scene where Shadow got killed earlier in the season, right? Mm-hmm. So we may not have seen it already, but I think when it comes to killing another character, I think it will mirror another scene that we've already seen with Slade, potentially.
One that we have already seen or one we haven't?
Well, one that we will have seen by that point.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I can see that. Maybe there's some flashbacks that tell you a little bit. Maybe,
right, because they got to get back on the boat,
you know what?
And the flashback.
Maybe Slade's mother paid off a girl, and he also had a kid, and then Oliver had to, like, drop him off the boat or something. Or
okay.
No, no, okay. I don't. It won't mirror it that much. But, yeah, you're probably right. Because that's...
Well, I was waiting for them to start playing a little Michael Jackson here later in the episode where, Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl that says that I am the one.
Billie Jean's the name of the girl.
Interestingly enough, we never find out the name of the girl.
No, we don't.
Stephen Amell did a great job at the end not saying her name. I can see that written on the paper where it's like, it was ... and then it's just the next line of dialogue. But he really plays through the whole...
My pen was above, hovering over the paper as I took notes going, okay, this is somebody I'm going to have to look up. Who's this character going to be? Who's it? Oh, they didn't say. Now in the comics, who is Connor Hawks?
I'm pretty sure it's Mary Sue Poots.
That's not possible. That is a completely different universe.
That is a completely different universe. Connor Hawks' mother... hang on. Let's rewind just a second. In the comics, Oliver has a child that he didn't know about, but he doesn't meet him until he's 20s or something like that. And the mother is Sandra... I think it's Moonday Hawk or something like that. She's a hippie. She's an ex-hippie that Oliver... hooked up with at some point.
That's appropriate. That's exactly who Oliver would have hooked up with.
It was before he got involved with Canary or anything like that. Actually, and depending on what storyline you read, I'm pretty sure that he's got three kids running around in the comics. I know of two, at least. There's Connor Hawk, and then there's also a child that he shares in the comic books with Shadow that he didn't know about either. He's a playboy, right? I mean, that's the whole premise of this. But there's another little boy named Robert, named after his dad, that he has with Shadow. And then I think there's a daughter that he's got, if I'm not mistaken. But I was looking for information on that. I couldn't find that. So it would be interesting because having Connor Hawk in this would be a nice little nod, have the kid named Connor or something like that. Now, obviously, the kid would only be 6 or 7 years old. Approximately, and in the comic books, Connor Hawk takes over. Connor Hawk becomes Red Arrow at one point, I think, and then takes over as Green Arrow when Oliver Queen dies at one point in the comic books. So they could do some interesting stuff with that, but not with a. You could see a little 7-year-old kid running around. It's like, I got you.
He's just going to have a slap baby formula for a while, and then he's got to. You know, figure out how to shoot his little suction cup bow and arrow, and he works his way up to that.
Yeah, yeah. He wears his little mask. It's me, Uncle Ollie. So, or Daddy, or whatever. So, and then, so I think there's some, you know, why introduce this whole fatherhood thing at this point in the season if it's not going to be crucial to the season finale? That's kind of my... point of it, but they may have something else that's going with it. Maybe they're trying to mirror the Malcolm Merlyn Thea thing.
Maybe, but I mean, we got big time stuff coming. I mean, and regardless of whether you saw the preview or not, you know, you've got Blood waiting in the wings, and he's got big plans. You got Slade and all of his prisoner minions that he just mirakuru'd up. He just roided out. And literally. And you know, then you got Isabella Rochev. So, and then, you know, Felicity's got to get new computers. And they don't have any money anymore.
Gosh, that's going to take forever.
They don't have money. They're broke, right?
I mean, it's like at some point, Diggle's going to have to start, you know, finding some other way to keep his suits because... he keeps telling you, you know, big belly burger, falling down on the ground and messing those suits up.
Well, he just gets them at the men's warehouse, as you know. they got good deals, 2-for-1 kind of deal. So,
oh, that's good. That's good. and I was going to say, Oliver's also got to figure out a way to pay for his medical bills for all of his motorcycle accidents that he keeps having. But that's actually not true, because I think he's got a new friend at the hospital.
Yes, it sounds like it.
That doctor was pretty cool.
He was pretty cool. I wanted to mention that scene with him and how they talked about the when he was doing the x-ray of his, I guess his knee, right? It was his knee.
Yeah, it was his knee. I thought it was, oh man, that was just
painful.
I was afraid he was going to break. Like, he had a break. And I was like, well, that's going to put Oliver out for the rest of the season. But no, it's just a, like, probably a tear of some kind. Still
painful. I mean, that's a season-ending injury right there. But what I wanted to say was, I really like how the doctor mentioned that he had injuries. He said, you know, probably from jumping off roofs and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was kind of cool to mention, because you didn't have to say that. You know, you didn't have to mention that at all. But you really would. I mean, you really would, as a hero, you would have all these horrible little tiny things you're doing to your body. So when you turn 40, you feel even worse than I do when I turned 40.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's like in Dark Knight Rises with Batman and all the injuries that he's got. It's just, you know, he's like, why do I feel this way, Alfred? It's like, well, because you treat your body like an ashtray. You know, it's just, he's beating himself up all the time.
Yeah.
So it's got to come there. And I also like the fact that, you know, the doctor's like, well, you know, I wouldn't have had this medicine, but, you know, there was somebody, nudge, nudge, that, you know, stopped the triad from taking our medical supplies. And I really appreciate that. So here's a bunch of free medicine.
Yeah. And that's,
it was a nice synchronicity between
and
this doctor that keeps showing up on the show, taking care of everybody.
That's what the Arrow is to the city. And that's what I think the idea of a vigilante as a hero, I think, is, it's kind of hard for me to see anyway, you know? I mean, because in real life, you just can't do that. So you would have to have something like, you know, a true vigilante that is a hero and not just somebody going around beating up people, whoever he feels deserves it. You're going to have this underground following of people like the doctor and Detective Lance, and, you know, people that know what you're doing and know you have no choice and know the city needs you. So it's great that he has this doctor ally.
Yeah, I agree. Now, that's his name, Dr. Ally?
Dr. Ally, yeah. No, he did have a name. I can't find it, though.
Yeah, he has been named before. I don't remember what it is. Well, at the risk of spoiling stuff that we may end up talking about next week, and thinking back to the opening episode of the season, which was called City of Heroes, I think we are seeing that, like you talk about with Detective Lance, with this doctor. How will the city rise up to defeat someone like Blood, which, just in case people don't want to know this, you can skip ahead like 5 seconds, but next week's episode is called City of Blood, which I think is going to be kind of a direct mirroring of stuff we saw at the beginning of the season. So how does a city survive? Well, a city is made up of all these different people, and they are all going to have to step forward individually as a group and become that city of heroes that have been inspired by the Arrow. And I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, Oliver is either as Oliver or as the Arrow is going to be put on some kind of public display, you know, and Slade's going to make a big public presentation about, you know, I am bringing order to the city. I'm going to kill the Arrow, you know, and take my vengeance. And I think we're going to see kind of like that scene in the Avengers where that one guy stood up to Loki in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, and it's going to be the people, the city, the citizens, they're just going to, you know, they're going to step up and they're going to, you know, band together and help save Oliver. And, you know, he'll see that he, like you said in this episode, that we're already seeing some of these nuggets that he's inspired these, just these average people from the city. We're going to see really what his legacy is about.
Well, that'll be good because the dude can barely walk, and now he's got a bunch of Mirakurites coming. So
there is something wrong about Mirakurites.
last season it was the finale was a city destroying earthquake machine, and so how are you gonna top that with season two, or at least equal it? And it looks like, you know, a lot of people in the city are really going to be put into danger because of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got a bunch of people running around with roid rage that will not sit well. So. There was one other question I wanted to ask you. Oh yeah. About, we talked a little bit about Sarah. She made her own decisions, and kind of reverted, her character a little bit. I felt like she was on a path for being, more of a righteous person, that she was getting away from her past, as an assassin, as a killer.
Mm-hmm.
And we still really haven't seen, I think we discussed this last week, we haven't seen her make her first kill, because Oliver was the one that steps in and kills Ivo on last week's episode in the flashback, correct?
Yeah.
That was last week,
yeah,
right? Okay. So, and she decides that she's got to kill Roy, that she's a killer, that's who she is, and that's what she's going to do. So, I felt like she took a step backwards. She goes to leave. Sin says, you know, hey, where are you going? And she's like, that she needs to go see an old friend. I'm really at a loss. I mean, I could just start pulling names out of a hat here, but I'm kind of at a loss. Who do you think she's talking about? Do you have any idea?
Well, I can't think of a specific person that maybe we have seen or heard about, but we know that she still has to be trained by the League of Assassins.
Right.
Right? So maybe she's going to somewhere with them, or I'm thinking, you know, maybe Nyssa. It could be Nyssa.
That is true, right.
That's the only specific person that we even really know that she has a relationship with from the past that's not in Starling City.
Right. And I don't know to take her terms, meaning an old friend, literally. Like it may not be somebody who actually is a friend, but, you know, someone that would come to her aid.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be her dad or anything like that. I'm wondering if it's like, it's like we saw Ivo get shot, but right, we know that the Mirakura can cure people and stuff like that. So I would, wonder if it would be something like that. But now that you mentioned, I think Nyssa probably would be. I mean, it's like who better to get to help fight off a bunch of, super soldier kind of dudes here than someone, who's the head of the League of Assassins.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, or it could be somebody else that she's met that we haven't heard from yet. But that's the only one I could think of. I'm kind of hoping it is, because I wouldn't complain if Nyssa was on the show again.
Right. Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
And maybe she knows. I mean, here's the stretch too. Maybe she knows Malcolm Merlyn is alive still because of her connections through the League.
That could be. Except the League doesn't. Oh yeah, Moira told the League that he was still alive, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why he's hiding.
Right. She kind of outed him, and then he got all upset about that. You didn't know he was out?
Oh. Well, it depends on who we're talking about. The actor or the character?
I may be confusing, the actors and the characters or something like that. I don't know. So, wow. So, I'm kind of speechless because I don't know what is going to be coming in the series finale or the season finale for this. I did hear that they are kind of pimping this as a 3-episode season finale. Like, it's that big.
I can see
and
that.
The last episode will basically be running in real time, which, you know, so it'll be like an episode of 24, which, you know, I'm sure will be very exciting.
Well, maybe Sarah's going to go see Jack Bauer.
Well, I hear he is coming back, but he's over in England, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably not coming in, so.
That would be a nice crossover, wouldn't it?
He just, you know, gets slayed and starts torturing him. And so. There's a lot to tie up in 3 episodes. It's going to feel like a movie. I mean, I won't do this because there's no way I'd be able to restrain myself, but I bet it would be a fantastic watch to just wait and watch all 3 of them together. This one would have probably been a good one in that story arc too, just because of it's sort of the beginning of the end, you know? I mean, that last scene alone, if you just watch that 15 minutes and then the last 3 episodes, I bet it is going to feel like this little epic movie for Arrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like you said, how can they kind of top what they did in season 1's finale? And I don't know they necessarily need to top it, but they've really taken the emotional stakes because we've had 2 years of caring for these characters now, and they've really upped that ante.
Well,
so
and maybe even more so for me because and this isn't a criticism because I realize what this show is, but the whole idea of the earthquake machine just seemed pretty far-fetched to me as far as real world. I didn't mind because, I mean, the whole show is really far-fetched if you look at it. But, you know, the earthquake machine, I don't know. Can you even have an earthquake machine? I don't know. Maybe you can. But this, on the other hand, is, you know, is a bunch of people terrorizing the city. Sure, they're super-powered terrorist people. But but the way they've explained it throughout the season has worked really well. It made sense, and it's scary because to me, I can see something like this happening. You know, some crazy drugged up people slapping on masks and doing something. Unfortunately, I wish I couldn't picture something like that happening today. But so it is freaky to me.
I believe they're called hockey fans.
Well, you know, it's getting closer to Stanley Cup season. It's the playoffs started, so just. Ten more months until we get to the Stanley Cup. I think that's how that works. I think the Stanley Cup, they play that right after the beginning of the start of the next season, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what it seems like.
No complaints for me. I got a team in it. So. Anyway, yeah, so I can see something like that happening, and it's freaky to me. So I don't know how Oliver is going to save his city now.
Yeah, he's definitely – he's going to need some help, I'm really eager to see how it plays out, and we'll have to see how close my predictions are here. Because, I mean, I don't have any inside information other than just, you know.
Well, and by the way, I mean, I could have talked about this earlier as we were talking about that scene, but this is what makes it so freaky to me. One of my scariest fears, and I'm sure as a parent you can relate to this, is someone harming someone that's close to you and you're powerless to stop them. I mean, that's just, and Oliver now has actually gone through that twice in the exact same way. So it's, you know, to me, scenes like that are, they get me so much. And that's what, makes me cheer for the hero so much in anything. I think maybe modern shows and movies are getting further away from, look, the reason that we have bad guys that do bad things is because ultimately we want the good guy to succeed over them and, you know, make sure that there is justice instead of just shock value. So hopefully we will see some justice at some point.
There could be like a league of people that provide justice would be really cool.
That would be
too.
A good idea. A bunch of people get together and they could even, you know, have like a hall or something.
Something like that. So
I think that's a great idea.
Zoinks! But no, that's sorry. That's, well, same voice actor, I guess. Different,
there we go.
Different show.
That works.
All right. So not too many references that we kind of haven't already covered. We did see the return of the Tibetan pit viper venom. We know he's got about 20 of those arrows left, and it appears that he used three of them in his great three-arrow trick shot.
Yeah, trick arrow alert there, too, by the way. I always like the trick arrows.
Yep, yep. That was good.
But now he's going to have to make some more of those, I'm guessing, like more, you know, hypodermic arrows or whatever. When they do finally find the Mirakuru, so they can so they can reverse it, I guess. Unless he's going to give it to him some other way.
That's a great idea. Yeah. So that actually makes me think that the cure, you know, if they would do something like that, they'd get a cure and then they can fire it into the. Into the bad group, the bad guys over there and everything like that.
Oh,
very
yeah.
cool. And then Sin mentions, I had forgotten that, you know, Sin hasn't been around for a while. She's not really up to speed on everything that's been going on, but that she did know that Roy got injected with something and he became, quote, comic book strong. I thought that was very amusing.
Yeah, that was a good little nod.
And then... And I only put this in here because you've brought it up a couple times. What happened to the maid? Well, she was mentioned, Raisa was mentioned in the flashback when the girl came over to the house 7 years ago. So actually this precedes, you know, the pilot episode, I guess. But Moira asked if Raisa could get her a drink of some kind.
Yeah.
So,
well, so I guess
they haven't forgotten about the maid.
They haven't. She just, I guess she quit or something, huh?
I don't know.
Maybe
I mean,
that's,
you know,
who Sarah's going to go see.
No. Maybe, you think?
Maybe. Maybe she is like related to Ra's al Ghul, you know, and she was just a maid.
Raisa al Ghul. It's his mother.
No, it's his maid. It's his maid.
It's his maid. the
Wait, you think Ra's al Ghul does his own laundry? Really?
The maid of the League of Shadows, you know, so it's the maid of shadows.
I don't know. Okay. I think we've covered that.
Yeah, anyway,
that was cool.
and then of course there was the speculation that we had about who might Oliver's child be, and there's a lot of stuff in the comics about that. I also did want to point out, I love how in your little opening bit, you talked about how, the one-liners get scared out of Felicity, but not before she was able to get out the something about, what was it? If she did something, would she be a bad person? And then Diggle's like, you know, I don't think there's anything on earth that could make you a bad person or something along those lines, right?
That was what I also liked when she gagged a little bit when Oliver.
Oh, when
Oliver
injected his knee.
Yes. Yeah.
And the fact that she wants something to eat, but not Big Belly Burger because it's giving her a big belly, which I hadn't noticed. But
I'm glad Felicity was in this. It kept me through the dark times.
It did lighten the mood a little. Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I liked the fact that Diggle got a little more. You know, he got some dialogue, more action and stuff like this. I like
him getting action. Now, that's why he's supposed to be there in the first place.
Right.
You know, he's not there to just have conversations with him. So
his sequence with Thea was really nice in the warehouse or in the storeroom
it
was.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah. So, well, I think that we pretty much exhausted it. That's about all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice.
Now we got to save our voices for next week.
Definitely.
So, if you enjoyed this episode, there's more to come. So make sure you are leaving us feedback on iTunes so you can spread the word and we can keep talking about this with more people. You can get in touch with us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. And you can go over to the Twitter and find us at Green Justice Pod. And of course, we'd love to see you on our Facebook page. Get us a bunch of likes over there. Spread the word. Facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast.
And if you like listening to us, you can also listen to Josh and myself on the other show that we do called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is also available via randomchatter.com. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.